Radio Daily
for Anti-Friday, because yes, it all must happen so we can appreciate the things that are to come. Huh? How's that for some Zen?
Like
that. Welcome to the 26th of August. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks who are bringing it all to you today were the lady getting everybody ready last week before school officially begins. It's the Flintstress.
Caning works. I think it's about time we did a little more of it right
here. Right here. Hey, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Do they have a name for what's wrong with you?
I don't think any scientist yet has been able to put together the appropriate syllables to make that happen. What happened this fine day, yo?
Well, in 1346, taking it way back, a cannon is first used during a battle in France using a round ball carved from rock. Edward III of England reportedly used 22 cannons during the defeat of Philip VI of France. The cannons really didn't have that much power, anything more than like a trebuchet, and they were incapable of bringing down walls, but they scared the crap out of people who ran for their lives because of the flash of light and the noise.
1843, the first U.S. typewriter design is patented by Charles Thurber of Norwich, Connecticut. So why is it not called a Thurberwriter?
Doesn't have a good ring to it. In 1858, news is dispatched via telegraph for the first time in history. The news is a story concerning China's agreement to the peace demands of Europe, and it's sent to the New York Sun, which prints the story the next day.
1884, the first U.S. patent for the Linotype typesetting machine is issued to Ottomer Mergenlather of Baltimore, Maryland. The patent is for the Matrix making machine. No one can be shown.
No. Matrix. In 1902, Conrad Huber receives a patent for the first flashlight with an on-off switch in a cylindrical case.
So they were always on before? 1909, always. A nearly perfectly preserved Cro-Magnon skeleton is discovered by Swiss paleontologist Otto Hauser, estimated to be 34,000 years old. The remains provide an excellent example of man's development.
Or lack thereof.
Damn.
In 1913, Eugene Augustin Laust gives a public demonstration of his photocinematophone sound on film system in London, England.
1926, Warner Brothers premieres Don Juan, directed by Alan Crossland, starring John Barrymore. It uses the Vitaphone sound system for synchronous music and sound effects.
Wow. In 1930, Philo Farnsworth is finally granted a patent for his electronic television system, which he applied for in 1927, but was repeatedly delayed by RCA's legal action.
1936, John Logie Baird's 240-line mechanical and EMI's 405-line electronic systems are used on alternate days for 2 one-hour periods to transmit experimental high-definition television transmissions from the Radio Olympia exhibition in London through the 5th of September.
In 1938, a tape recorder is used to broadcast a radio program for the first time in the U.S.
We're not going to be here tonight. 1978, Dr. Sigmund Jahn becomes the first German cosmonaut when the Soyuz-31 spacecraft is launched on a mission to the Salyut-6 space station.
In 1984, Judith Martin, who writes a syndicated column about personal etiquette under the pen name Miss Manners, responds to a question concerning the use of a computer for the first time. They ask if it's okay to type personal correspondence using a word processor. Miss Manners says, no, it's inappropriate. Envelopes addressed using dot matrix printers may be mistaken for sweepstakes entries. And, you know, if friends find out that portions could have been copied and pasted, difficulties. Funny.
LOL. 1991, the original pilot episode of the long-running sci-fi series Doctor Who, An Unearthly Child, is aired for the first time on the BBC. Though the series premiered November 23rd of 63, the pilot was riddled with so many technical issues it had to be entirely reshot. As the series grew in popularity, its unaired pilot became the stuff of legends, the holy grail of hardcore fans.
In 2003, Buena Vista Interactive releases the first-person shooter Tron 2.0 for Windows in the U.S. The game is a sequel to the 1982 film Tron.
And wouldn't have been a bad idea for that Tron Legacy movie, huh?
Except that it sucked a whole bunch of people into the computer.
Birthdays.
Dylan O'Brien is 28, Styles from The Maze Runner.
But not from Teen Wolf. Evan Ross is 31 from Pride, Hunger Games 1 and the new 90210, not the current BH90210,
right.
But the new 90210.
John Mulaney is 37, writer from SNL, failed sitcom Mulaney.
And got to be Spider-Ham in Into the Spider-Verse. Chris Pine is 39 years of age from Princess Diaries, Do Star Trek, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, Into the Woods.
Macaulay Culkin is also 39. Crazy to think that they're the same age.
Right.
From Uncle Buck, Home Alone, The Good Son, and Saved.
Meredith Eaton is 45 from Family Law, Boston Legal, Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones.
Melissa McCarthy is 49 from Gilmore Girls, Mike and Molly, Bridesmaids, and Ghostbusters.
Chris Burke is 54, that's Corky, from Life Goes On.
Alison Steadman is 73, Shirley Valentine, and the life and death of Peter Sellers and Orphan Black.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1908, Gilly Flower, that's Miss Tibbs on Fawlty Towers, and Steptoe and Son.
Born in 1909, Jim Davis, Jock Ewing on Dallas.
1920, Brant Parker co-created The Wizard of Id.
Born in 1921, Naomi Parker Fraley, American war worker and waitress, and considered the likely model for the iconic We Can Do It poster.
1928, Yvette Vickers from Sunset Boulevard, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman and Attack of the Giant Leeches.
Oh no! 1940, Don LaFontaine, the voice of movie trailers for so long.
1952, Michael Jeter from Zelig, The Fisher King, Jurassic Park 3, and of course, was Mr. Noodle on Sesame Street.
Did not know that. Well, on TV tonight on CBS, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood, followed by some Big Bang Theories, Mom and Bull.
ABC, it's new 2-hour Bachelor in Paradise. Then Alicia and Javi find out more about Beatrice and the unmarked room, which recalls confusing childhood memories on a new Grand Hotel.
NBC has American Ninja Warrior and Dateline.
Fox, it's a new Beat Shazam and Sah. You think you can dance?
On the CW, a new Penn and Teller Fool Us, Whose Line, and I Ship It.
What? Freeform is showing Hancock.
AMC, Chester struggles to support his family as the Terminal Islanders try to settle into their new surroundings, but an evil force still pursues him on a new The Terror.
Bravo, it's a new episode of Below Deck Mediterranean. What wacky hijinks will they get into? I don't know.
Who knows?
Bring in Isaac, why don't you?
On FX, they're showing Captain Underpants, the first epic movie.
FXX is a Simpsons marathon with Simple Simpsons, Broadcast News, and Treehouse of Horror XV.
Mm. FXM has Elysium.
They really wanted that movie to do something. They really,
yeah.
National Geographic Channel, the world's most dangerous drug, supermeth.
Is it a bird? Is it a nope? Supermeth.
Super.
BBC America has Goldfinger and From Russia with Love.
Sundance is showing Batman Returns, followed by Batman.
That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Sci-fi has The Edge of Tomorrow, which also doesn't make sense.
Turner Classic Movies, The Maltese Falcon, which is always a damn good time.
On TBS, they get a new American Dad, and then Gary finds a way to reach Quinn and possibly speak with him on a new Final Space.
USA's got WWE Monday Night Raw, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because two mothers who both have husbands who travel for work and daughters on the verge of leaving their house learn their families are on the verge of falling apart when their daughters uncover a disturbing secret after befriending each other. Justina Machado and Elizabeth Rahm star in Family Pictures.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Victor returns to the farm to take his family to Oregon. You see, the Civil War is about to begin, and the family wants to go west to Oregon to make sure that his sister-in-law Madeline is safe and her sons Chad and Stefan are not drafted. Tale as old as time. Uncle Victor agrees to lead the family on the perilous journey. But the Civil War has greater consequences for the family than they could imagine. What's so civil about war anyway? The thing is, Uncle Zed knows the only thing that will save the family is a smoking gun. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Well, of course we do. Hi, geeks. I'm late getting to work today because today was my annual battle with Comcast/Xfinity over my internet bill. Four other Comcast people tried to wear me down and convince me that they don't offer 3 megabytes a second speed and the best price available is $40 a month for only a year. Then I remember, I can ask Henrico to contact Comcast. Barbara Corson used to strike fear into Comcast. She retired, but Dorian Edler has taken over, and less than an hour after Ms. Edler called back to say she'd emailed Comcast Escalation Office, a fifth Comcast person called, and offered the rate I've had since 2010. First with Clear, then with Comcast. $30 a month for another year. Enough of that, Flintstress. Your joke about Brother Voodoo's doctorate made me laugh. Now I have to find out who tried to call and get to work. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, I'm glad we're here to make you laugh while you deal with your cable stuff. You know, just get internet. Everyone's going to streaming, right? Or piracy, because that's where they're making us go.
Hello, geeks. This is Anna, and I feel a bit called out. So here's the thing. I didn't watch a lot of television in the last, I'd say probably 20 years, but I did watch a fair bit in the 80s and 90s, so some things seem familiar that you all have done, but it wasn't in my wheelhouse. And this particular show this week, based on the clues given so far, I had a sense of what network it might have been on and what kind of show it probably was. And using that information and my librarian skills, I was able to determine that this week's Chad and Abby is set in the show Salute Your Shorts. I think I'm right. Bye.
Well, Anna, you absolutely are. And yes, after saying to people that we hadn't had any correct guesses whatsoever, the weekend gave us a plethora Okay, The Weeknd gave us a few. Absolute correct answers that last week Chad and Abby were on. Indeed, Salute Your Shorts, a show that should have lasted longer than two seasons. Damn you, Nickelodeon. How dare you be Netflix before Netflix? If you have any idea where they're at this week, thanks to the fantastic clue you just got there, I know it's going to take a couple days. By all means, drop a note, and won't you please, it's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could always just drop a voicemail to the magical number of
510-GRD-CREW.
You should have seen the show I wanted to do last week.
This is Phil Collinson, you're listening to Radio... This is Phil Collinson, you're listening to Radio Free Scaro.
Anyone who might listen to this in the UK...
You will guffaw with amazement.
Yeah, it looks like you need a Piers Winger in here. That's a load-bearing winger.
I feel the impact of Torchwood.
But we had such hope for the character. Thinking, oh, wow, look at Adric, he's great. I'm sure he's starting off a little shaky here, but he'll come around. We've riled him up.
Do we need all these singing-type things for a bunch of nerds?
Pardon me, Pedantor.
That's me, Pedantor of the gutter.
There's the typical Burgess modesty we've all come to know and love.
This show has always been about warts and all, but we'll keep doing it.
It's up on RadioFreeScaro.com. Hooray!
Hi, this is Walter Koenig, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. And welcome back to it. You know what's happening. What folks go and see this weekend, yo?
This week's 10, last week's 8. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood made another $5 million. It's made a little over 123 in 5 weeks.
This week's 9, last week's 6. Dora and the Lost City of Gold made $5.2 million. It's made 43 in 3 weeks on a 49 budget. It'll get it eventually, but I doubt there's a sequel.
This week's 8, last week's 5. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark made another $6 million. It's made almost 51 in 3 weeks.
This week 7, last week's 4, The Angry Birds Movie 2, making another 6.3. That's $27 million in 2 weeks on a $65 million budget. I think we're done with this franchise.
Let's hope. This week 6 was new, Ready or Not, Here I Come, You Can't Hide. They're going to make almost $7.5 million. But they've made like 10.5, including everything else.
You got to love that early opening. So, you know, Carol the Cat Lady can go see it and tell you all about it. Check the feed. Check the feed. This week's 5, last week's 2. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. $8.1 million. It's made $147 million in 4 weeks on a $200 million budget.
Wow.
Could we be done with spinoffs of that?
This week's 4, last week's 3, The Lion King made another $8 million. It's made $511 just U.S. in 6 weeks.
This week's 3 is new. Overcomer, Run for Jesus. $8.2 million and a $5 million budget. I guess overcoming still will happen eventually.
That's cheap to make. Yeah. This week's 2, last week's 1, Good Boys made another $11.7 million. It's made $42 in the 2 weeks it's been out.
The number one movie in America, Angel Has Fallen, made $21 million on a $40 million budget. It wasn't a big weekend, so...
It was gorgeous weather.
That's
at least in our neck of the woods.
That is absolutely true. We should go do more stuff like that often.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Disney announced like 30 new projects during their D23 convention in Anaheim.
And that's just the live-action remakes.
The terror that is Lady and the Tramp. One of the big surprises was Ewan McGregor coming out on stage during the announcement that they rumored for years Obi-Wan Kenobi series, sometimes rumored as a film, is a reality.
The truth is, often what we make of it, you heard what you wanted to hear, believed what you wanted to believe.
Ever since Disney announced anthology spinoffs coming to the galaxy far, far away, many people are like, hey, Ewan McGregor.
Right?
Obi-Wan, come on. Because he did an amazing job in the horribly written scripts for the prequel trilogy.
One of the only good things.
I mean, there's times he's like the only one trying on screen. The idea that his Obi-Wan could get a better story with better writing is exactly what they need to tempt me for this service.
Well, I can't wait to see Obi-Wan's desert days.
We were somewhere around Anchorhead Pass on the edge of the desert when the Force began to take hold.
And since, you know, Star Wars news and Marvel news now fall under the same banner, let's talk more about Disney. As Kevin Feige, is that how you say it?
Sure. I have no idea.
Kevin Feige also confirmed that Disney Plus will be the home to shows based around She-Hulk and Moon Knight. Plus, Ms. Marvel series will lead into her eventually appearing in the MCU movies.
Whoa. The shows and the movies will relate to one another?
Yeah. There have been multiple versions of Ms. Marvel over the decades. Brie Larson's MCU hero, Carol Danvers, aka Captain Marvel, being the first to use the name back in the 60s. Disney Plus's Ms. Marvel series is based on Kamala Khan, who is the latest superhero to use the name. The character is also groundbreaking for being the first Muslim superhero to headline her own Marvel comic.
Which is awesome because she's cool. And I'll be drinking the tears of some folks I know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my brother.
Well, she was inspired by Carol Danvers, and Kamala becomes a superhero herself and eventually even joins the Avengers. As an Inhuman, her superpowers include shape-shifting and extra healing.
Extra? Wait. So she can make you better and get stronger than you were before? She's got steroid power?
Sure. Moon Knight follows former boxer and U.S. Marine Mark Spector, who is granted a second chance at life when he is offered up to the god Khojnu by his followers. After getting enhanced strength and durability, Spector becomes vigilante crime fighter Moon Knight.
Which is so cool. I mean, have you ever seen a moon horse?
Ooh. As for She-Hulk, in the comics she is known as Jennifer Walters, Bruce Banner's cousin, who gained his gamma radiation superpowers after a blood transfusion. Oops. Jennifer operates as a successful lawyer and occasionally gets involved in the crime fighting as She-Hulk, with her powers working more of a Professor Hulk at the end of Avengers Endgame, as she's able to basically be Jenny while in Hulk form.
Oh, they better have John Byrne writing some scripts.
For Disney Plus, Marvel is reverse engineering by having several characters from the MCU films get their own spin-off shows, you know, including Loki, Falcon, and the Winter Soldier, Scarlet Witch and the Vision, Hawkeye, and, well, if we're lucky, we'll get a show from the point of view of villains trying to make it big with, you know, Orb, Frogman, and Angar, the Screaming Hippie.
The Matrix, John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, and Nightmare on Elm Street 3 star Lawrence Fishburne is set to executive produce the animated series Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur for Disney Channel.
That sounds like the best 70s band I've never heard of.
Based on the Marvel comic book series, it follows the adventures of 13-year-old super genius Lunella Lafayette and her 10-ton T-Rex Devil Dinosaur after she accidentally brings him back into present-day New York City via a time vortex.
If I had a nickel.
They work together to protect the city's Lower East Side from danger. Fishburne announced this also at the D23, which announced everything.
A dinosaur running around the East Side? Would have loved to see Jessica Jones run into that.
Oh my God, right. Kim Possible producer Steve Loader serves as the executive producer on the project, while Jeff Howard and Kate Condell serve as co-producers and story editors. They are perfect for this. They are well aware you gotta crack open some science if you want to scramble some eggs.
Firefly, Castle, and Dracula 2000 star Nathan Fillion is set to join James Gunn's The Suicide Squad at Warner Brothers Pictures and DC Films.
Green Lantern's not part of The Suicide Squad.
Fillion's role is under wraps, but he has a long history of working with Gunn. Starring in 2006's Slither, 2010's Super, and voicing a huge prisoner monster thing in 2014's Guardians of the Galaxy.
God, I was really hoping he was going to be Cosmo.
Margot Robbie, Joel Kinnaman, Jai Courtney, and Viola Davis are reprising their roles, while they are joined by Elba, David Dashmalian, Steve Agee as King Shark, Danella Melchor, Flua Borg, Storm Reid, and potentially John Cena.
Well, someone has to figure out if the squad is smarter than a fifth grader.
Fillion currently stars at ABC's The Rookie, which kicks off its second season on September 29th, and his filming commitments to that mean it's likely he'll only have a small role.
So it could be a Green Lantern cameo.
That, or he could be playing that Ivan Drago-looking guy Hammer, which would be the least horrible thing possible. Doctor?
More than 80 years after the Hindenburg erupted in flames in New Jersey, Zeppelins may be poised for a comeback, not for passenger service, but as an environmentally friendly means of delivering goods around the globe.
Good, because if, you know, some girl gets on there with a staticky sweater and boom, it's all the humanity.
As proposed in a recent scientific paper, the new airships would be 10 times bigger than the 800-foot Hindenburg, more than 5 times as long as the Empire State Building is tall, and soar high in the atmosphere. They'd do the work of traditional ocean-going cargo ships, but would take less time and generate only a fraction of the pollution.
Sure, until someone lights up and boom!
Quote, "We are trying to reduce as much as possible emissions of carbon dioxide because of global warming," said Julian Hunt, a postdoctoral fellow at the International Institute for Applied Systems Analysis in Luxembourg, Austria, and the paper's lead author. He said the new generation of airships would get around by riding the jet stream, a powerful air current that circles the globe. He and his collaborators calculate that an airship a mile and a half long could circle the globe in 16 days, hauling more than 20,000 tons of cargo while expending little energy.
Well, yeah, there is no energy until Hindenburg 2.0 erupts.
The jet stream moves west to east, so airships would only go in that direction. Hunt imagines them taking off from the United States, crossing the Atlantic Ocean and Europe to reach Asia. The craft would then continue west across the Pacific to return home. But if helium offers a greater margin of safety, it's expensive and hard to come by. Thanks, birthday parties. It's found only in pockets of natural gas deep underground, with its extraction usually a byproduct of highly pollution drilling.
Oh, so fracking? We only get birthday balloons through fracking?
Well, you take the good, you take the bad. Hydrogen, on the other hand, can be extracted from water and would be so much cheaper. It's possible to use wind or solar energy to power the process of extracting hydrogen from water, so that could be another advantage over helium. And since hydrogen is lighter than helium, more buoyant, it would mean airships could haul more cargo.
Pardon my stuck needle, but kaboom!
To minimize the risk associated with hydrogen, Hunt envisions getting rid of the crew. The airships would operate autonomously and would be loaded and unloaded by robots.
Oh, great. Robots flying a giant bomb. Sorry, Sarah.
Most airship companies are reluctant to speak about hydrogen because they will scare off investors, said
you
Barry
think?
Prentice, president of Winnipeg, Canada-based Buoyant Aircraft Systems International. Prentice said he thinks investors, regulators, and the public will eventually come around to hydrogen. That, in turn, could open the door to larger airships capable of reaching higher altitudes while carrying more cargo. Besides, Prentice figures today is the perfect time to bring back another flaming Nazi gas bag. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Pulse right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right there on the finger of the pulse. There it is, baby. Oh, I guess I'm ready now. Hey, why don't you drop us a note, please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you to all the people that submitted your answers, both right and wrong. And good job, Drace, on being the first one that I actually saw. So maybe you'll win these things one of these days. We get a lot of them. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Or you can always send a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD-CREW.
And we will catch you the next time that we do.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
I'll see you at precisely 6:30, or as the English call it, Gravedigger's Biscuits.
All aboard for safety and adventure on the rigid airship Excelsior, where the pampered luxury of a cruise ship meets the smoothness of modern air travel. Yes, when you fly Excelsior, you're flying in style and safety.
Safety? But isn't hydrogen flammable?
And how, Timmy? That's why Excelsior is filled with safe, natural helium. Why, it's actually flame retardant.
Neat!
And safe. All aboard Excelsior!
God, who'd want to put a bomb on that?
Well, that's what we're hoping ISIS can find out.
No, why bother? Some broad gets on there with a staticky sweater and boom, it's...
Oh, the humanity!
No, no, that's...
Sterling, were you watching some other blimp commercial just now?
Technically, it's a rigid airship.
Filled with helium.
Which is non-flammable.
Which I thought our promotional video covered that fairly well.
And how? Sterling, it's totally safe.
Well, except for the bomb threat.
Oh, not to worry, dear. ISIS won't let terrorists blow up your lovely blimp.
Rigid airship.